Today is different. Today we stop and pray. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou amongst women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. You guessed it, we are in day 9, where we are focusing on souls in purgatory that had a great love for Our Lady during their life. And we have to talk about this woman right here. She is an amazing, amazing woman. And the word for the day is influence. Influence. When I was going into prayer and simply asking her, what do you want me to tell them? How do you want me to speak to them? What seemed to come to mind was this: the greater influence I have in their life, the greater influence I have after they die. That's what we would call devotion. We hear about influencers all the time, right? These people on YouTube that have this sort of power to change the minds of other people to do this and to influence the culture. In the same way, whenever we allow some aspect of our faith to influence us in a particular way, it colors our spirituality. A way of speaking of this would be like saying this: if we allow the Blessed Mother more deeply into our life, it will color our holiness, the way we live, the way we die, and what happens when we're in purgatory. That's what's most important. So we are focusing today on these souls that set themselves apart by having an unbelievable love for the Blessed Mother and allowing her to influence in their life to a supreme degree, not just normal, not just a lot, but to a saintly level. And so it begs a question for us, and again, every group of souls in purgatory that we pray for, we also learn from, and we also receive their graces. So today, when you offer your rosary and you pray for those souls in purgatory that had a love for the Blessed Mother, you ask them, as soon as they get to heaven, to give you a portion of their love, to give you their heart and put it in your heart so that you could love the Blessed Mother as if all of their hearts were united. You could love her with an increased amount of love. And that's what it's all about. So how do we allow the Blessed Mother to influence in our life? And the answer is simple. There is no one answer. There is no one way to control our love for her and her love for us. Now, sometimes people use religion and they use their faith to control because they have a lot of anxiety, because they have a lot of fear, and they want to have set answers that are always this way and always that way. And if you're someone like that, you need to let go. Because in relationships of love, we cannot control. We cannot control God. We cannot control the Blessed Mother. It has to be something that we allow to happen, where we surrender. Now, there are devotions that can open the door to a greater love of the Blessed Mother. And you know them. We all know them. The scapular, the rosary, the miraculous medal, consecration, Lord's water, pilgrimage to her shrines, but they are not a substitute for a real relationship with her. They only open the door. They do contain promises, but we must also have a relationship of love. And at the end of the day, that's the most amazing part. It's amazing that I wear my miraculous medal and every day I ask the Blessed Mother to give me graces from that hand where there are those darkened rings, those graces that people don't ask for, and I'm asking graces for myself. That is awesome, and I love doing that. And I'm also part of the Militia Immaculata, which was founded by St. Maximilian Kolbe, and you should join it too. But the best part isn't that. The best part is the love that I have for her and the way that she influences in my life. Let me share with you a tremendous story of influence. And then I want to read a portion from the book. And again, I continue to encourage you to buy this book, Stories by Purgatory and What They Reveal, because it's a 30-day devotion. Get it on Kindle because it comes with the other book, Hell and What It Is Like. But this is something that you can do not just in Lent, but also outside. And by the way, if this content is giving you value in your life, please hit that like button. So now, let me tell you the story. So I think the year was 2014 or 2013, and it was the World Youth Day in Rio de Janeiro. And I went with a group of friends of mine, and it was an amazing experience, and World Youth Days are just unbelievable experience. And at the last Mass, we had the opportunity of having a Mass with Pope Francis. And we were on this beautiful beach. I think Copacabana is what it was called. It's an amazing, amazing beach. There were probably 1.5 million pilgrims. So one of the issues that came about was communion. How are they going to distribute communion to all those people? They had tents set up along the beach, but the tents only went halfway. The beach was like a mile and a half long, and people literally filled the entire beach the whole way. So obviously about half the people were not going to get communion. Prior in the trip, we had been in Rio de Janeiro already about 7 days. I had brought probably about 3,000 miraculous medals. I don't even remember how many I brought, but I brought a lot. And I was a little bit worried because when you have a bunch of metallic objects in a bag and a plane, you get a little nervous. Get what I mean? Well, I had my friends help distribute them. And you would think that it would take a long time to distribute 3,000 miraculous medals. But when there's 1.5 million people floating around who are all at least nominally Catholic, if not devoutly Catholic, they literally rip the medals out of your hands because they want them so bad. And there's this cultural thing with World Youth Days where you trade trinkets, like for instance, they give you little pins, or you give them a medal, or they give you this. You give them something as a reminder of where you are, what country you're from, and it's a way of making friends. So it's actually kind of easy to give those away. Well, we gave them away in probably 1.5 days. And it was awesome because every time we did that, people were just so gracious and we got to meet them. And then we finished. And it was our way of showing the Blessed Mother that we loved her, that we really loved her. We got to that Mass, the last Mass, and I got separated from the group. I took advantage of the fact that I got separated from the group and went to the very front as far as I could, close to the altar. And it came time for distributing communion. They began passing out communion, and I would see it being passed out over there and over there, and it was always just too far away for me to wander over there because there was a lot of other people that were to receive communion. And at some point, it was clear that they had ran out. And there was someone walking towards me. And at the moment, I thought, you know what? If that person has communion, this isn't right. Because my friends that are in this group are somewhere else on this beach, and they're not going to receive communion. So I need to not receive communion so I can be in solidarity with them. I can't just be all privileged and then leave them in the dust like that. I just couldn't do it. And then I just remember thinking about how sad they must have been and thought, I want to feel that sadness with them. I want to be courageous and be one with them. So I said a prayer to the Blessed Mother. And just as I was saying that, I remember that they had an image of the image of Our Lady from Brazil. And she was on the screen, and they were saying some prayers to her. And I don't remember who it was that brought communion, but it was literally this woman or something. I couldn't even see her face. Sometimes I have no idea who it was. I felt like she almost had like a veil on or something. I don't know. And she walked through the group, and she stopped right in front of me. And she had in the bowls that they had one host. And I looked at it and freaked out, and I thought, oh my gosh, I get to receive communion. But then I thought, everyone else around me is gonna kill me if I receive communion. What am I gonna do? And I was literally stuck between a rock and a hard place. And I grabbed the Eucharist, and I thought, what am I gonna do? And then, because of the situation, you can understand how difficult it was, I thought, I have to share, I have to. So with the people around me, we had them break the host into smaller pieces and give it to everyone around us, and we all receive. And I know that that's not a typical way to receive communion, but you have to understand the story. And after that moment, I was like in a daze, and I just asked myself, what just happened? That was so crazy. Literally after the Mass, I went and sat down and recorded and told myself the story because I couldn't believe what just happened. And I knew that the Blessed Mother, because of the influence that we had allowed before in the early part of World Youth Day, when it really mattered, she influenced again and had her way. And it's the same with purgatory. My friends, let her influence in your life. And when you die and you're in purgatory, she will do the same. Now let's get to that story. In the Book of Her Foundations, St. Teresa tells us that Don Bernardino de Mendoza gave her a house, garden, and vineyard, which he owned near Valladolid, that she might establish there a convent in honor of the Holy Mother of God. 2 months after this, and before the foundations was effected, he was suddenly taken ill and lost the power of speech, so that he could not make a confession, though he gave many signs of contrition. He died, says St. Teresa, far from the place where I then was. But our Lord spoke to me and told me that he was saved, though he had run a great risk, for that he had had mercy on him because of the gift he had given for the convent of his Blessed Mother, but that his soul would not be freed from purgatory until the first Mass was said in the new house. I felt so deeply the pains this soul was suffering that although I was very desirous of accomplishing the foundation of Toledo, I left it at once for Valladolid. Praying one day at Medina del Campo, our Lord told me to make haste, for that soul was suffering grievously. On this I started at once, though I was not well prepared for it, and arrived at Valladolid on St. Lawrence's Day. She then goes on to relate that as the new building was very extensive and would take a considerable time before completion, she had a temporary chapel prepared for the accommodation of the sisters whom she had brought with her. She deeply regretted her inability to build at once a permanent church, as she feared that until that was done, Don Bernardino should be detained in purgatory. But how great was her consolation when, as the first Mass was being offered in this chapel, she saw in an ecstasy the soul of her generous benefactor ascend to heaven. Rejoicing at his happiness, she thanked our Lord for the solicitude with which he had hastened to deliver him, and became from that time more devoted than ever to the souls in purgatory, as she perceived the great interest taken in them by our Lord. So just as the Blessed Mother helped me, and just as she helped Don Bernardino, when we love her and let her love us in this life, so she will do for you. My friends, persevere in this journey into purgatory and hell. I will see you tomorrow in day 10.